small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
And I'm Kyle Dalton.
Joining us today, he's been on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
He's back. He's in the guest co-host chair. We see this gentleman at least once a month because we play poker at his house. Mm-hmm. It's an illegal game. Don't tell the cops. It's high stakes. What's the buy-in? 50 grand?
And a finger.
And a finger. Ladies and gentlemen, so he can talk, I need to introduce him. Comedian, actor, professional, semi-professional poker player, Mr. Chip Chinnery.
Thank you very much, Pat, Kyle. I'm also an impresario and a bon vivant.
You're also you're a slumlord.
Slumlord, that's true.
You have a couple of
I house people.
You house people. You're helping people live.
Yeah.
You got a Skyline Chili jacket on because you love the Skyline Chili.
You're love from, it. Probably got it free.
You're from Ohio.
Cincinnati, where originally. The river flows.
What year did you start your stand-up comedy career?
I started doing stand-up in the summer of 1981. Truthfully.
Wow, that's like 8 years before I started.
Six months after Jimmy Carter left office, to give it perspective. I was 16 and I did about 10 open mics that summer.
As a 16-year-old.
As a 16-year-old. And you know, 16-year-olds are so funny. We have so much to draw upon.
They know a lot about what's happening in the world.
And it's just pun after pun.
How did you do though?
I had a couple good jokes. I had my Richard Nixon selling Maxell tape.
Okay.
Joke. Back in the early 1970s, I needed a tape I could rely on. Huh? Huh?
That's
that was
good.
A slogan back then. Pretty good joke.
Do you think you got laughs partly because you were so young?
No, I have old audio tapes and I am so boring and and just droning on. And it's like, you know, I put my tape recorder near at the table with the other comedians and they were laughing. I think they're laughing out of support, but also like,
God.
He's horrible. Why does he keep coming back? He has no future.
Was there a break in it, or did you just continue to do it?
I went back that fall to high school, and then I just did like a couple talent shows every year through college, and then finally graduated college. Did another open mic night in '86. So by then, at 6 years, I've been a dilettante tinkering around with it.
You had stage time under your belt.
Yeah, but I still wasn't great. And then I took another year off. And then
always good to break that momentum.
Break it up. Yeah. Why get back on the horse, especially when you could tour then?
Take a year off.
Yeah. So then I started doing it again in '87 and then got serious about it. Mm-hmm. Did another bunch of open mics, won funniest person in Cincinnati for the month of February of '88. Then I moved to Connecticut.
Wait, that is a contest that happens monthly?
Yeah. Yeah. So I finally won.
So one month you're the funniest, and the next month you're shit.
I'm the funniest. Then I left. I moved to Connecticut.
Because it was time.
Yeah.
You
I
peaked?
Had to get to Connecticut. Yeah. I already conquered Cincinnati. Time to go to Connecticut.
When was your first like paid gig?
In later that year in '88. Well, I had other paid gigs, but it doesn't mean I was good. Like I put together college gigs.
At that time, they needed, it was the boom. They needed as many people that were passable as possible.
Yeah.
Because they needed openers.
Well, I thought, I'm at Miami University in Oxford, Ohio, and we have a place called East End where they have bands perform. I'm going to pitch them the idea of a comedian. So I got me and Drew Hastings and Bob Lambert and a few, Mike Sullivan Irwin and a few other guys. And it was
a show
like,
together.
We did a show, and it was like, ooh. It was fine, but why was I headlining for 30 minutes? just
so wait,
not
you,
good.
You didn't, was there a comedian on that show better than you at the time?
Probably. I mean,
or were you guys about the same?
Well, another thing I noticed is the maturity. It's horrible when you're 18. Your maturity is so, Drew is 11 years older than I am, so he's 29, so he has much more confidence. And,
yeah.
And that's just so much better to watch than some 18-year-old.
Yeah, just fidgeting.
Mumbling through it, being drony and nasally. And just like, oh, no, just bad.
Did you have show clothes? Did you have like special clothes that you only wore for the shows?
Well, it was 82, so I wore my suede brown jacket with my sock tie, which was maroon, and my blue button-down Oxford.
Because that's what the comedians wear when they're on TV.
Yeah, So I had some, that was my outfit.
Were you comfortable in that outfit?
Yes. Well, I,
were? Okay.
Yeah.
Because like if I had to do stand up in a like a suit, I wouldn't have been comfortable.
Well, and this was a special occasion. Like I said, I did a few of these a year. I didn't want to blow it, go crazy. A few shows a year. Maybe I hosted the Alpha Z Delta suntan contest. I wrote all new material for that.
Well, you need to. It's a special event.
They had me back a couple years in a row. I needed to keep it fresh.
How many times in your intro did you use that you were the funniest man in Cincinnati?
I would use that. And also, you've seen him on PM Magazine.
Ooh.
Because I'd been on it twice in Cincinnati.
What for, and for and what aspect?
Once they said, here we are with Ira Jo Fisher, who's kind of famous. Was he popular? He was big in New York. I don't know if he was a...
He didn't make it to where we lived.
Okay. Well, he was a... He was the host with Edie Robinson, and they would every week, every night, I guess, they'd go to somebody else's house in Cincinnati or to a location. We're here at the home of Chip Chinnery. You know,
they
Chip
went to
has
your house?
A baseball card collection. Yeah, and so they sat on my couch, and I held, you know, the very ebullient 17-year-old that I am just sitting there on the couch holding my baseball card collection.
Did you, no, you must have got, you must have got laid a lot after that.
Chicks dig the baseball card.
So did you had to request to be on the that show? Though,
yeah,
you had to put in.
I like comedy, but I also like self promotion or promotion. I just always liked it.
Yeah, so, put yourself out there.
A lot of people think it's crazy or it's a chore, but I always liked it. I was like, hey, I can get on PM Magazine.
Well, I'll tell you, it has served you well.
Thanks.
Because I just want to run through some of the TV shows that you've been on. You've been on classic sitcoms in speaking roles,
yes.
Not just walk in or eating a sandwich at the diner.
You're not an extra.
You've been on Seinfeld?
Yes.
You were on the one where George wants to be nicknamed T-Bone.
Correct. You're one of the office people.
You're there. In the office chanting T-Bone, T-Bone. And you have other lines too.
I say turkey sandwich. You can hear that. You can also, if for you aficionados, when George is, Kruger is looking, he's looking at me, Kruger's the boss, and we're looking through a door, and George is out there flailing his arms, looking like a monkey, and... Look, and then Kruger goes, look at George. He looks like a monkey or something. And then I say, he does look like a talking monkey, but you didn't need to hear me.
Yeah.
So they just plowed right over what I said with laughter. But if you look closely on the right, you can see that I'm moving and saying something. Yeah. But that was my one line that made it was turkey sandwich and Gammy and T-Bone.
You're on Friends.
Yes.
What did you do on Friends? Tell the people.
I was...
These are shows that people continue to watch, so they're going to see you.
Yeah, my name is Scott, and I need to flip the lights for Sean 17 times before I leave a room where my family will die. I think I said it like that, too.
Yeah.
It was when Ross is a doctor of some sort, and then Joey was a tour guide at the museum, and the doctors wore white coats, and the tour guides wore blue coats, and they sat in separate halves of the cafeteria, and then Ross and Joey are like, let's take off our coats and... basically mingle and talk about ourselves. Yeah. Sherry Shepherd's in that episode. I don't know whatever happened to her, but...
I don't know. Something. She's good things are coming,
I think. We were both on the same episode.
Were you on Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yes, I was. The season premiere of season two.
What'd you do on that?
Well, the more interesting thing is, do you know when that episode aired?
9/11?
9/11, folks. The 9/11. That was my...
What were we supposed to do? Well, you know, after the event happened, just
time to laugh again.
Time to laugh again. Was it too soon?
Evidently, because they just ran it again the next week.
So what are you in the scene with Larry?
Larry's selling used cars, or he's selling cars, and I come in to buy a car. And my name was Archie. I improvised the name Archie.
Did he like that?
Yeah, then he redubbed, not in the scene, but his response to that is, oh, my sister's name's Veronica. Archie and Veronica. But that was in there.
But he put that in after the fact.
Yeah. Because I set him up. What I do is I set up the other actors in the improv.
But he's not quick enough to think of it right then.
I'm sure Mr. David could have thought of it then, but he just...
And was that fun?
That was good.
Or was it scary improvising?
I had been given advice from other people who auditioned for it. They said, just try to make Larry look bad. So in the audition, I showed up and we're just kind of improvising. In the audition, I'm improvising with Larry and I'm like, oh, how much is this? And he's like, it's 40,000 or it's 20,000. I said, oh, the sticker says it's 50,000. Ha, making him look bad.
Yeah.
Then I got the part.
Perfect.
And then I did the show.
Couple more things before we get into the topic.
Sure.
You were directed by Clint Eastwood in Space Cowboys.
That's correct.
That part ended up on the cutting room floor.
which we found out when we went to go see in the screening, you and I.
When we went to the movies to see it.
Hey, it's cast and crew screening. Sweet.
Where are you, Chip?
Should have been this part by now. Next day, I got the letter. Hey, sorry, you've been cut out.
Oh. Rocky and Bullwinkle, you made it into that film.
That's correct.
Would you rather have been cut out of that and made it into the Clint Eastwood film?
Yes, I would have.
You were in a film last year.
The full-length motion picture, Battle of the Sexes.
Battle of the Sexes. And you have a great, almost like, the whole cast is almost in the scene you're in.
That's right. I played Rune Arledge, the ABC sports president at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And
you have a couple scenes.
I have a couple scenes. I'm all, in the first scene, I get all mad at that Billie Jean for trying to shut down the match the night before the event.
Her and her lesbian ways.
And then I'm in another scene in the control booth. And I go harumph, harumph a few times because I'm all mad that she's beating the guy. I'm like, argh.
That was good screen time, though.
Yeah, it was fun.
Any other, I mean, there's tons of other shows. How many commercials have you done?
72.
72 commercials.
72 commercials.
How many sitcom spots?
It's like 32 different sitcoms, but I recurred on a few of them. So it's like about 60 different, it's like 70 different shows, but it's like 60 different. If you go to the IMDb, it says like 58 shows or something like that.
And other than the big, I named three big ones. What are some other big ones that I left out?
Big
sitcoms. We said Seinfeld, Friends, Curb,
Drew Carey, Becky, Becker, Reba. There's a lot that I just did New Girl, and in the past year I did New Girl and Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Life in Pieces and American Horror Story, but that got whittled down to just me looking like I was a guy debating and not talking.
Boo.
Boo. What am I, turkey sandwich? Can I at least say turkey sandwich? There was one other one, but it was fun.
In that Seinfeld one, who was the guy that says he wants a T-bone?
Damon Jones.
Yeah, but what's the character's name? Do you remember? Who's the boss?
Kruger's the boss.
And I like, because he goes, wait a minute. Like if it's Kyle, he goes,
Watkins. That's his name, Watkins.
You want a T-bone? And I remember because the guy goes, I love him.
Yeah, yeah. Damon's
we're going to call you T-bone.
Wait a minute, Watkins. You want a T-bone?
I love him. All right, Kyle, what's new with you?
Nothing.
No, something's new. Something happened to you yesterday.
I got into a car accident yesterday.
Yep. Whose fault is it?
The old woman that hit me.
How old would you say she is? Is she older than your Nana?
I thought she was well into her 70s, but she's like 62.
Oh, geez.
Doesn't live well.
That's not, yeah. Mm-mm. So wait, did she look 2 years older than your dad?
Oh, she looked like 30 years older. Yeah.
And you have a sore neck, shoulder, back.
Yep.
And penis?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He wears a seatbelt really weird.
Oh.
So it catches him across the penis.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. It's strange.
They say wear it low and tight.
I usually wrap. I do like a wrap around and then click it.
Why? What kind of accident was this?
I was going to lunch from work,
mm-hmm.
and I was stopped at a stop sign. Looked both ways. Nothing was coming. I go through. I'm almost the whole way through, and then she came barreling down. And then rather than swerving to the left of my car, swerved to the right and ended up hitting into the side of my car and then continuing to like drive next to it.
Don't you think at a certain age you should have to take your driver's test every two years? I don't know how frequently.
Yeah, I don't know when it is because I guarantee you she hasn't because her picture on her driver's license is from like the 70s. Like it didn't look anything like her.
She might not have a valid license. You might be able to sue.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get on with it. Here's why Chip's here tonight. We've been trying to figure out a way to have Chip back. The last time he was here, he's because he gave us some money tips. So we did songs with money in them. Take the Money and Run. And
for example.
Silver and Gold from, I don't know if we played
Burl that. Lives.
Yeah, I don't think we played that.
That'd be a good one.
But we play, Chip, you go and you get in poker tournaments in like Vegas.
I enjoy playing poker. Yeah. I am a competitive poker player. Right. I'm not a professional, but I enjoy it.
And then we play a fun card game, poker game, monthly at your house.
Yes, once a month we play crazy dealer's choice games, and it's really more about eating pizza.
Tons of junk. How much you ate? Seven boxes of what? Crunch and Munch
last week. Jack brought some crunching munch.
That was not good.
We got to ban that.
I mean, it was good, but not good.
Yeah, it was too good.
Because that's when you're like, I'm going to have one cookie. And then you go, I ate seven cookies.
Yeah, I had a cookie fail last time. I got those little tiny Oreos. That was not a good thing.
Yeah, that was like little candies.
Almost. Yeah, it was wrong.
But we the three of us always are there. Some guys are more busy than we are. We always make the time.
We're the core players.
We're the core, the mm-hmm. three core players. You need to change that date yet.
Yeah, we got it. Because then, for the next game.
September.
Exactly. When's this going to air? When's this going to drop?
This is going to drop, I think, September. I can tell you.
It would have been the day that we were having poker, I think.
I think so. Hold on a second.
The 6th or something?
You guys talk amongst yourselves. This is going to drop on September 6th.
Okay.
And Jamie Whitlock is doing the artwork. Jamie's one of our rock solid artists.
Jamie's one of the best I've ever seen.
He's one of the best. He'll do a good job for you. So tonight we're going to play songs that are associated with gambling. Maybe it just mentions gambling in the song, or maybe the whole song is about gambling, or maybe we just twist it into something about gambling.
Sure.
Could be about gambling money, could be about gambling your love or life or whatever. We're going to make it happen.
Cards, gambling.
Anything like that.
That'll be exciting.
You want to go first?
Yeah, sure.
You're the guest. What's your first song?
The first one I am from, I'm going to tip it right now. My hometown is Cincinnati, Ohio.
Big gambling place?
Well, there happens to be a full-length motion picture called The Cincinnati Kid, starring your Steve McQueen.
Never saw it.
It was, I think they did in 1965. And a young gentleman by the name Ray Charles did the song, the title song. And it's probably the only song on my list that is totally all about gambling and poker, etc. Right. So enjoy.
Let's hear it.
He came with the name Cincinnati, a kid with no A's in the hole, on a hot poker pot. Cincinnati had staked his heart and soul. He played night and day like a demon and prayed for that one.
Never heard that song.
Really? It's a fun song. And if you ever see the movie, can I give spoilers or should you just leave it out?
If the movie's been around since
65,
for 50 years, I think you can spoil it for
people. So there's a big card game played between Edward G. Robinson and Steve McQueen.
Yeah, see, I'm going to play some cards.
I'm going to play some poker here. Yeah. And at the end,
you got an ace up your sleeve.
Well, Edward G. Robinson gets a queen high straight flush.
Ooh.
And then Steve McQueen's all bummed because he gets aces full of tens.
All right.
Full house. Normally a fantastic hand.
Yeah.
And then I went on the online, and some guy said, this is how crazy that is. For those two hands to appear in the same thing would be 332 billion to one. If these two players played 50 hands of stud an hour, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, that situation would arise about once every 443 years.
Wow.
So this whole movie's a sham and a lie.
But the writer said, let's come up with the two poker hands that would be incredibly hard to get at the same time.
And this guy said, even more so because both hands had a 10 in them. It does make it harder.
It does. I've never seen that movie.
It's fine. And Anne Margaret's beautiful.
Oh, Anne Margaret always is beautiful.
Mm, lovely lady.
Mm-hmm. Is there a movie, is there one of those movies that everyone's seen that you have not seen yet?
Yeah.
What is it?
Oh. I think a lot of the Monty Pythons.
All right.
Look Who's Coming to Dinner. Somebody brought that up today. I said, still haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it. Godfather?
I finally watched all. I hadn't seen them till like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I finally watched them.
And?
They're okay. I think they probably were better at the time.
It's hard because when people have been talking about it for 30 years and then you finally watch it, you go, "It's so what?"
Yeah. And it was like early 70s, right? So you got to judge something in its time for sure. Because otherwise,
You should have seen that when you were 7 years old to really enjoy it, right?
Yeah.
When it first came out.
Yeah.
Kyle, what's a movie you haven't seen that everyone always talks about? You watch a lot of movies, though.
Yeah, I do. I've never seen, like, The Good and the Bad and the Ugly.
I've never seen the Man with No Name trilogy. I don't think I've seen those either.
I don't know what that is.
Well, it's The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. It's For a Few Dollars More.
Fistful of Quarters.
Fistful of Dollars.
Dollars or quarters?
Not quarters.
Oh, that's a different. That's a documentary.
A fistful of quarters.
That's a documentary about arcades.
All right, that's totally wrong.
Oh, you ever see The King of Kong? That's a good documentary about that.
We got Donkey Kong Killscreen coming up here.
Yeah.
That guy with the beard, Billy.
The cool kid who.
Yeah, that guy. They just figured out that he had cheated that whole time, wiped his records.
Good. Now he has nothing.
He owns a hot sauce company, and they show a scene where he's in the supermarket and he's just taking all the other hot sauce and pushing it to the back and putting his in front.
That was my episode of The Middle.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Were you the hot sauce guy?
I was the store manager, and the two kids in the middle came in to put the hot sauce, the Hecht Brothers hot sauce, right in the center.
That's funny.
That is funny.
Life imitating art. Mm-hmm. Art imitating life.
All right, I'm gonna play a song from
Load one up.
I'll tell you who my song's from.
Ooh.
All right, Chip, my next song is from Bruce Springsteen. And it's actually my song, so I'm going to introduce it, Kyle. In 1982, I told the E Street Band to take a powder for a year or so. Take a break. And I said, I'm going to take a break too, but I didn't. I lied. And I recorded an album solo. I recorded into a TAC cassette player. Sounded like shit. We could never get the sound. We could never get it to be good, but we released it anyway. It's an album called Nebraska.
Oh, I've heard that.
And this song that I'm gonna, I want you to play. It's about one of the places where people go to gamble.
In Nebraska?
No, Atlantic City. Let's hear it.
Well, they blew up the chicken man in Philly last night. Now they blew up his house too. Down on the boardwalk, they're getting ready for a fight. See what them racket boys can do. Now there's trouble busting in from out of state, and the DA can't get no relief. Gonna be a rumble out on the promenade, and the gambling commission's hanging on by the skin of its teeth. Well, now everything dies, baby, that's a fact. Maybe everything that dies someday comes back. Put your makeup on, fix your hair pretty, and meet me tonight in Atlantic City.
What, that you weren't joking. That really does sound like garbage.
Yeah. It wasn't. We tried, but we just couldn't get it good. I rhymed a city with pretty.
Have they ever tried to remaster this or re-record?
That is remastered. Yeah,
I'm the new best Bob. It could be.
I'm the new Bob Dylan.
I didn't come here to listen to people and saw Bruce Springsteen's sound.
That's one of our. That's an imitation of someone who writes a review of our show.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. We had a 1-star review a couple weeks ago. Here, the woman had, because she was called what, A-plus girl.
Yeah.
Gave us a 1-star review. She had only reviewed 3 things on iTunes. It was our podcast, an app that helps you track your period. Yeah.
What?
And another app, a Bible app. So that's what she, yeah.
I don't know. Why were there? No, yeah, that's too bad. We have too many apps officially then.
We do. To track your period?
The period one was 5 stars. The Bible app was 4 stars because it didn't work when you didn't have Wi-Fi. So can't carry around a big Bible.
Yeah.
Not if you don't have Wi-Fi.
Nope.
Well, that makes sense.
Use your hotspot, fatty. A-plus girl, that's what she called herself.
I think she meant she got straight A's.
Oh. Oh, okay, Brainiac.
There, you got her on that one, sons of
God. What do you got? What's your next song?
My next song is from a kid out of the Motor City.
Oh.
He first, I believe, and I'm not really sure, but I'm going to say that this was one of his very first hits in the late 60s, like 1968.
All right.
And I pray that I'm right about that. Because someone out there is going to write a review from their menstrual app about this, and I'm going to be in trouble. Bob Seger singing Ramblin' Gamblin' Man.
Stay.
I could be wrong, but I think a young Glenn Frey sings background vocals on that song.
Supposedly.
Mm-hmm. Is that a word?
No, it's like the real word, but okay. It's supposedly. He's the one who bursts out with the
Rambo.
Right up front.
My mom, Kyle's grandmother, says supposedly.
Well, that's an innovation there on that word.
Supposedly.
Supposedly.
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
She can't pronounce anything.
This is your mother?
Yep. His grandmother. By the way, that wasn't the Silver Bullet Band. That was the Bob Seger System.
Oh.
From 1969.
69. All right. Bob Seger System.
Like she would call a casino a casina.
Yes. If it ends in an A, she pronounces it as an O. And if it ends in an O, she pronounces it as an A.
Like a piano.
And there's things that she doesn't like that everyone likes, but she doesn't like it.
Like what?
Like she'll say, I'm not big on pizza. How many people have you run into that don't like pizza?
I just read something about some guy who passed away who they were talking about it on Facebook, and they said, you know, he never liked pie. My wife was the first one to get him to try pie, and he just never cared for it.
What kind
like,
of pie?
What?
What kind of pie are you talking about?
Is that blueberry? No. Cherry? Oh,
his wife got him to try
it. I was like, how do you not like pie? Maybe it's pizza pie.
All right, let's go back to 1980. Chip, what's the highest card in a deck of cards?
Ace of spades.
Let's hear it, Motorhead. Rock and peace, Lemmy. Guy made his living singing.
Oh. That guy?
That guy. Lemmy. Lemmy Kilmeister.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That was Motorhead.
That was Motorhead?
Yeah.
With Ace of Spades.
I thought you were doing a George Burns impression.
Ace of Spades. This next one,
Chip, I gotta tell y'all, I'm gonna sing Ace of Spades. That's my George Burns.
Oh, George Burns.
George Burns, who do you think?
I thought you said George, I thought you was thinking George Carlin.
No, yeah, George Burns is
who I said. Let me hear George Carlin now that you did.
Here's my George Carlin. George Carlin. George Burns. That's my George Burns impression.
Wow, that's a really good George Burns impression.
It's just that you can't use it that often.
Say Ace of Spades is George Burns.
That was Ace of Spades by Lemmy. It's not a lot of call for George Burns.
I can't do
my. That was
anymore.
My big impression.
That was really good. George. That was your impression when you were 16 years old doing your stand-up?
Yeah, you can see it on PM Magazine.
You didn't do George Burns on
PM
Magazine?
Yeah, my big thing, I put on the glasses. I turned around. I put the glasses on. I had taken off, you know, the little nose and glasses with a fake mustache. Where I got rid of the nose and mustache and kept the glasses. And I turned around with a cigar and said, George Burns. And then I'd move my mouth.
You can't really do it, though.
I don't do George Burns.
I didn't know that. That's
no,
funny.
Like this, I'm telling the listeners, this is just all coming out right now. I didn't know any of that you did.
Oh, I thought maybe
magazine.
You set me up.
No, I'm not setting you
maybe
up at all.
Maybe you've gone through all my files.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I was breaking out of Colin Quinn the other day. You know, I can't even do it now. What would Colin Quinn say?
I don't really know what he would say.
Okay, we're going to skip that, and we're going to go right back to George Burns.
you got a song for us, George?
Hi. Yeah, I'd forgotten about this song, but I've been watching the WKRP in Cincinnati that are rerunning on the MeTV. And I'm from Cincinnati, so I really wanted to enjoy this. So I watched these shows, and all of a sudden, Hoyt Axton came on. And he was a guest starring as someone who used to go out with Lonnie Anderson back in West Virginia.
How old of a man was he when he was on the show?
He's in his 40s.
How did he look?
He looked older. He looked 10 years older at least.
At least.
Yeah. And I loved his voice and forgot all about this song. Here it is, Della and the Dealer.
And a dealer and a dog named Jake and a cat named Kalamazoo. Left the city in a pickup truck, gonna make some dreams come true. It rolled out west with a wild sunsets in the Coyote Basin at the moon. Della and the Dealer and a dog named Jake and a cat named Kalamazoo.
said a mumbling word.
It's not a bad song. It's
a good
fun song.
I played it like 20 times after I saw that episode.
And this is what got Lonnie Anderson into bed. The songs like this.
Did they go to get bed together?
Oh, I thought you said that he dated her on the show.
They said that they were childhood sweethearts.
Oh, okay.
And then he came from West Virginia to find her, and she left West Virginia and him a long time ago.
I never. Go ahead. What are you
is he saying? He's the dad in Gremlins, right?
I think so.
He might be.
Yeah. He is.
He also wrote Joy to the World, if my mind is right.
Yeah, and the Fishes.
His mom wrote Jailhouse Rock.
Who's his mom?
Heartbreak Hotel is what she wrote. It's like Myrna Axton.
They let ladies write songs back then?
Yeah, uh-huh. And now to Elvis Presley.
She wrote, Heartbreak Hotel.
Heartbreak Hotel.
May Boren Axton.
Who's my favorite woman?
Axton.
Think she made any money off that?
Hoyt probably didn't even need to try. Could have coasted.
Hoyt, that was kind of a country song. I got a country song here.
You do?
This is kind of like a play on gambling, the title of the song. This is from 1990. This is Garth Brooks. This is Two of a Kind working on a Full House. But wait till you hear how that plays into the song.
Hey, she's my lady luck. Hey, I'm her wild card man. Together we're building up a real hot hand. We live out in the country. Hey, she's my little queen of the South. Yeah, we're two of a kind, working on a full house. She wakes me every
See, that's about, they're gonna bang around. And
this seems a little subtle. I don't understand. So it's two of them.
Yeah.
And they're very similar.
Yeah.
They're two of a kind.
Yeah.
The Full House part I got lost.
Well, they're gonna bang around and have a bunch of kids and fill that house up.
You know what? This reminds me of a Kmart commercial I did. Everything's going to refer to all commercials or TV shows.
All right, good. That's what we need.
Go to chipchinery.com. You look at Chip's clips. You see the Kmart spot. You watch it. Something. I do say something about that. I'm working on a Full House. And I pull out the wallet with all these photos.
Of your children.
Yeah. It's a good story, right?
It's not bad. It works.
George Burns.
Is that what you're going to fall back
just
on?
Go ahead, never Let Her Go. That's my other song.
That's your. That's Red Velvet. Chip's a ginger, and his character who sings at the nightclub is Red Velvet.
Yeah, and he sings Frank Gorshin covers.
Yep.
But I don't even know if that's how Never Let Her Go.
No,
is.
We just know one song. It's the Frank Gorshin Never Let Her. You can look that up. Frank Gorshin song.
Never Let Her Go.
Let's hear Frank Gorshin sing. On the 45 jacket, he's got the Riddler costume on one side, and then him in a tux on the other side. He's like, people only know me from the Riddler.
I saw him once at the Starlight Bowl.
He did Kirk Douglas impressions. He did good impressions, right?
Yeah, he was an impressionist.
You find is this Never Let Her Go?
Mm-hmm.
Go out, find the one and only somewhere out there. Someone will care for you and them. Never let her go.
Never let her go.
I bet my dad likes that song.
If Never he knows about it.
Well, that's interesting. Actually, in 1985, I came out to California during college, and I did a set at the Laugh Factory and at the Comedy Store twice as part of my, you know, the early three times a year doing stand-up. And that's great, because when you're 20, it's good to get out to L.A. to the top two clubs in the country and show your stuff and bring out your street signs, which are literally poster boards that are 2.5 feet by 2.5 feet. From brand new street signs, can of Skull, and then I say dip in road.
Oh, you're saying you had props.
Yeah,
you traveled across country with props.
I had
and brought them to the Comedy Store.
My cigar for George Burns, sure. And the glasses.
Because you couldn't just fake like you had a cigar.
No, exactly. Right? It's like Dennis Miller said to David Spade, because Spade used to do an impression of Tom Petty, and he always wore a big top hat.
Yeah,
and Dennis is like, "Some Bambi again." Still got the security blanket with you? Referring to him carrying his hat around at the improv. That's
hysterical.
But on the trip out here, we stopped in Vegas. My buddy Officer Baskett and I drove out here. We stopped in Vegas.
Oh, now that's coming full circle. You can gamble in Vegas.
Wow. You just blew my mind.
And interrupted.
And you know who
story.
We saw in Vegas?
Frank Gorshin.
Frank Gorshin.
You that's went to his show.
Well, he was in the lounge, so anybody could see it.
Okay.
It wasn't maybe the top of his career, 85. He's on the way down.
Was he smoking in the lounge?
He was smoking, rocking, and rolling. But you know where he was? And that leads me to my next song.
All right.
It was Las Vegas. And this next song is performed by a young kid who once performed a song by Hoyt Axton's mother.
Bright light city, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care, and I am just a devil with love to spare. So Viva Las Vegas, Viva Las Vegas. How I wish that there were more than the 24 hours.
It's definitely written by someone who was never in Las Vegas.
There's blackjack and poker and the roulette wheel. Thanks. That's for good work, guys. Good work.
Okay, I got a twofer coming up.
Nice.
By the same band. Because I'm not sure if the first one is really about gambling, but whenever I hear it, I always think about gambling. And it's Blood, Sweat, and Tears. So the first one, well, just play it.
What goes up must come down. Spinning wheel.
Ooh, cowbell.
Got to go round. Talking about your troubles, it's a crying sin. Ride a painted pony, let the spinning wheel spin.
When I think of spinning wheel, I think of like the roulette wheel.
Right.
Maybe I don't know what the song's about.
It could work, but all I could think of is a spinning wheel. I just keep thinking of Hank Kingsley from Larry Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
Let the spinning wheel. Remember when he did that?
Yes. Okay. Well,
but spinning wheel, hey, why not?
But they have another song, and this is called Go Down Gambling. So that's got to be about gambling, right?
I think so.
Blood, Sweat, and Tears one more time.
A natural loser, a can't recall to swear. Raised on pool and poker and a dollar here and there. Blackjack hand, dealer man, you better pay off that last bet. Two-bit hand of 21, that's all I ever get. Go down gambling. Say it when you're running low.
Now, I only have one Blood, Sweat, and Tears album, and it's called Greatest Hits.
Yeah.
And I like three of those songs.
And When I Die is one of them?
Yes.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, those were the greatest hits.
Yeah.
You could put out a greatest hits.
It's a whole album that are supposed to be hits. And I like, if you don't only like three songs on the Greatest Hits album, that's not good.
No, that's an okay hit.
What are you looking for, Kyle?
Well, there's a bug here. I was going to kill it.
Why? Wow. Why? What kind of bug?
I don't know. It's like hopping around.
You got a hopping around bug?
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing in there? What do we get power wise in there?
45.
Okay, keep an eye on it, and I'll go over and get the power source if I need it.
Kyle?
This is stuff we don't edit out. We just keep going.
All right. Then yeah. I'm going to jump right in then.
All right.
Yeah. This next song is by John Sebastian. Enjoy, and I'll talk about it later. It's called Darling, Be Home Soon.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Sorry, Kyle. Can't read my mind.
Son of a bitch.
Come and talk of all the things we did today. Here and laugh about our funny little way while we have a few minutes to breathe. And I know that it's time you must leave. But darling, be home soon. I couldn't bear to wait an extra minute if you dawdle.
That's a good song.
It's a pretty song, and I apologize to Kyle. It's by The Love and Spoonful, and it was written by John Sebastian.
Okay.
And the reason why it's a gambling song is because once at our little Thursday night once a month game.
When we first moved out here.
Yeah, this was like 20 years ago.
There wasn't any internet, really.
No, there wasn't really, okay. I don't think. And so, we sat there and I said, you guys, John Sebastian died. And you're like, what? And I go, yeah, John Sebastian from The Love and Spoonful.
He's been dead for like a year.
Yeah. And he goes, no, he's not. I go, look, I'll bet you $20.
You bet everyone at the table.
Everybody at the table, I bet $20 because I'd seen it on E.T. with Mary Hart saying that he died. So Pat somehow, maybe the internet had just happened. You went to see, you typed it in and like, no, dude, here, he's way alive. I go, how's that even possible? So I just learned then that I can't trust anything that I think because I dreamt something so real that I lost $80.
Because you paid us.
I paid you off right then. I was now, like, well, I couldn't be more wrong.
Luckily, your friends did not take that money.
Is that true?
No, we all took it.
So that's a non-gambling gambling. That's my own personal gambling song.
Yeah, that's a lot. You took an $80 hit.
Yeah, because I can't trust
what
my
if
own
he, what if Kyle looked it up and went, no, he died in 1974.
There'll be some phone calls placed.
Just so you know, he's still alive.
So is this Francisco 74. Franco?
74.
General Francisimo Franco? Generalissimo Franco, that's who it was. He's still alive.
He's still dead.
Oh, that was it?
That was the joke, yeah.
I'm referencing something 40 years
from
ago.
From Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
I don't even know how you segued into that. No, I don't even know what you're talking about.
I wasn't. He's still alive, and I thought it was he's still dead. Well,
You like Carly Simon?
Yeah, I think she's attractive. I like her music.
All right, let's hear something from her from 1976. This is called Riverboat Gambler. Let's see if this is on the nose.
Riverboat Gambler. Taking a loan on the prowl. Chasing your bourbon with Tennessee.
Now, Kyle, just because, let's play this song. This is another Carly Simon song. It has nothing to do with gambling. We've played this before on the show. There's a little song called Hot Cakes.
Ooh.
See what you think of this.
Says spittle on the griddle as you drop that batter into that hot butter. Ground and brown, piping hot, like as not.
This is really Carly Simon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hubba, hubba, hubba. Blood, Sweat, and Tears wouldn't even include this on their greatest hits.
Now, wait. Now flip it.
Wow. Wow.
That's from the album called Hot Cakes.
You're So Vain, the same Carly Simon?
It's the same Carly Simon.
No, what year?
That was 1974.
Really?
Nobody does it better.
Nobody does it better than Carly.
I like all these songs, especially Hot Cakes. That's crazy.
Batter on the griddle. Now flip it. Boom, 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 boom. Yep, that's on an album.
They wasted reel to reel tape on that.
I know.
That's amazing. I didn't know she did that.
Your turn.
How about this?
Hubba hubba hubba. She says hubba hubba hubba.
How do
too.
You follow Hotcakes?
Oh, that's a Seinfeld theme song. Oh no,
go,
that's
Joe.
Yeah.
That's not, boom, that's not boom, Seinfeld. Boom. That's Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
And Secret of My Success, I think it was in maybe.
I don't know what that is.
Someone, that's another podcast.
Yeah, music songs.
This
songs
one
from movies.
Is a gambling song, and it's very much about part of gambling, luck, and it's sung by Frances Sinatra. Luck Be a Lady.
Be a lady tonight. Luck be a lady tonight. Luck if you've ever been a lady to begin with. Luck be a lady tonight.
No, look. I get a lot of flack about this, but I hate Elvis.
Yeah.
And I hate Frank Sinatra.
What? You hate?
Like, when I hear that, the band sounds great. I don't like singers that are easily imitated. You know
Never
what I mean?
Never let her go.
Like Gorshin. That just sounds terrible to me.
Really?
His voice. Luck be a lady tonight. I mean, it's like...
People say it's his phrasing, right? That's so
it
great.
It sounds like he's flipping pages, like two of the words are on one. Luck
I don't know.
Be a lady. I'm not just not a fan.
I can't say anything bad about.
I know.
What's his name?
Francis Albert Sinatra. Frank. Yeah.
The chairman of the board.
If, hey, look, if Jilly's listening to this, I don't want him coming over here and, you know, beating me up.
I want no troubles. No problems.
All right. First of all, my next song
is
by Ace Frehley. And he's gonna tell us about, you know, he was when he was drinking and driving, you know, he was always gambling his life, kind of. So this song, there's a couple lines in the song where he's decided that no way, he's not going to be dancing with the devil anymore. But before we play it, I need to, and then we can just go right into the song. But I just need to ask Ace, would you like it if we played a song by you?
Sure, baby. When I think of how my life was spared from that near fatal wreck, if the devil wants to play his card game now, he's going to play without an ace in his deck.
Take that, Frank.
There's your phrasing.
Yeah. He has too many words in that sentence. He could definitely pare that down a little bit.
Yeah. If the devil wants to play his card game now, he's going to play without an ace. Name checks himself without an ace.
He could just say the devil's going to have to play without an ace in his deck.
Yeah, would that be as good?
It would be better.
If the devil wants to play his card game now. Yeah, he's singing a lot of words.
Yeah. All right. It's like two measures when it could be one.
I just like that for fun.
Mm-hmm. Wow, this guy, he knows terms.
Luck be a lady tonight.
Now this song.
Who's this by?
It's by a bunch of fellas, mm-hmm. and one of the fellas was married to Cher.
Village People.
Close.
Sonny Bono.
Not Sonny Bono. And it's... a guy whose brothers were in the band with him, and it's the Allman Brothers.
This guy's a rockin' piece.
Oh, yeah.
Rockin' piece.
Really?
They had a son together, Elijah Blue.
Wow, is that true?
That's true.
Enjoy it, Ramblin' Man.
That's a great song.
I had nothing to do with it, but thank you.
You didn't co-write that?
No, I did not. I refused to take credit.
Who, first of all, my next song is, my next song is from 2010, and I feel like I just bought this album 2 years ago. It doesn't seem like it's 8 years ago that I got this album. It's Brandon Flowers. He's the lead singer of The Killers. This was his first solo album.
Is he related to Waylon Flowers Adam?
Nope. But these would all be Vegas people.
Yeah.
These would all be around gambling. This album's called Flamingo. He was born and raised in Las Vegas.
Brandon Flowers?
Yep. And this song is called Welcome to Fabulous Las Vegas.
Stumble down the boulevard, neon encrusted the temple. Looking for the grace of God in the arms of a fellow stranger. Disciples handing catalogs of concubines as you stumble down the boulevard crying, Hosanna. Welcome to Fabulous.
This guy loves his hometown, loves Las Vegas.
This is an anthem for Las Vegas.
It's an anthem. You love Cincinnati, though, right?
Living on the air in Cincinnati.
That's enough. You do though. You love your. You I have love no Cincinnati. You love Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's fine. It's rock and roll. It's great. Do you it's love, home.
What about you? Do you love Hollidaysburg?
No.
But it's your hometown.
I didn't. I mean, technically, I was born in Pittsburgh, but whoa, like I don't have a whoa. Love for that. Like, I just, it's fine. Whatever.
You're like they say in the Bible. You shake the dust off your sandals of that town and move mm-hmm. on, just like Jesus did when people said thumbs down. Right? You like a Christ figure
you're
leaving
like,
Hollidaysburg?
You're like Jesus. Yeah. We're gonna call you Jesus.
Jesus of Hollidaysburg.
Jesus of Hollidaysburg. There's a movie title for you.
Yeah.
All right, what do you got for
I got show? My next song. Should I just go right on? You guys know it's coming, so let's just go for it.
I don't know.
It's by this lady named Gaga. She's talking about her poker face.
Hmm.
I wanna hold them like they do in Texas, please. Fold them, let them hit me, raise it, baby, stay with me.
I love it.
Love game, intuition, play the cards with spades to start. And after he's been hooked, I'll play the one that's on his heart.
Have you seen this trailer for the new Star Is Born movie with her and Bradley Cooper?
No, I haven't. Is it fantastic?
Oh, dude.
Yeah?
You got to see this. How come you don't sing your own songs? I just write.
Oh, she's going to be.
I just don't think people want to hear me sing my songs. I think you're beautiful.
Well, I'll try, I guess.
Yeah. And then she just knocks it out of the park.
There's that one scene that you talked about where she like smiles at the camera, and that's in every trailer, and I just bust out laughing like every time I see it.
He says like, "I think you're beautiful," and she goes, "No."
Like it looks like Spanky from the Little Rascals.
It's gonna be a hot mess. I'm gonna have to go see it at the theater.
Did you like the first one with the? I assume it's the first one with Streisand and Christofferson.
That wasn't the first one. I
think
was there one before?
This is like the fourth version.
Yeah, there's like one in the 40s.
There's one with and then the other lady.
who's in the original, Kyle? Tell us.
Hold on.
Stiller and Mira did one, didn't they?
And then Dave Chappelle's in this new one too. He's Bradley Cooper's friend. He's like, man, I'm getting worried about you.
Oh, I like that.
I'm a little worried about you.
It's kind of like a buddy picture.
I'll be fine.
Okay, so there's one from 37.
1937.
Then there's one in... Okay.
Oh. Who's in that one?
So in 1937, A Star Is Born.
I sound so stupid to think that
it
started.
It is Janet Gaynor.
Oh, Gaynor.
And and Frederick March.
Oh, is it March and Gaynor?
Yep, March and Gaynor. Bless you. Then.
Bless you. He's allergic to Merch and Gainer.
That's my real sneeze.
Then.
What happened when I sneezed last night, Kyle?
He like sneezed and then he just like sat there with his hands in front of his face. He had to like get up from the couch and like run to the kitchen.
Because what happened?
He threw up in his hands.
I sneezed and threw up in my hands.
What is wrong?
I don't know.
Your pipes are all crossed.
We were watching a brand new animated movie, The Death of Superman. And on my third sneeze, I threw up in my hand.
How does that?
I don't even know.
Achoo.
I was like, achoo. It was terrible. It was awful. And he's just like, are you okay? I'm like,
no. I have a handful of bile. Oh my gosh.
There was the 54 version.
1954.
Was Judy Garland in
there? Judy
that
Garland and James Mason.
James Mason. That's my impression. Here's my impression of James Mason as a Mason.
Okay.
I need some more bricks. It's very. I haven't done James Mason.
Was
anymore.
He gay?
No. I used to do a great James Mason.
It's not bad.
I don't know who he is, but I trust that it's
he was
good.
In Lolita.
Never saw
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I saw it once.
Then Streisand and Christofferson and Gary Busey in 76. I assume that
Gary Busey, Dave Chappelle is probably playing.
That's what I was just going to say.
Yeah.
I think Barbara Streisand wore hot pants in that one. That's what I remember.
She was sexy in that period of time with the fro.
Bringing the pop, a lot of pop on her fastball.
Remember the album cover where she just got the Superman t-shirt on?
Yeah.
You remember that, right?
I do.
Spank Bank.
She's a married woman. I can't comment on that.
Let me ask you this. Will you do something for me? This is your, I want you to do an impression of a performer that probably played Vegas many times.
Mm-hmm.
Probably was up to no good when he was playing there.
Probably.
But he appeared at our poker game one night, and he's known for doing clean material. But you busted out an impression of a fellow we'll call Blue Cosby.
Wow, I forgot Blue.
Yeah. Am I putting you on the spot?
I'm trying to remember what Blue Cosby did.
You talk about dirty, he's very dirty.
I don't remember.
I remember Weird Harold coming up a lot.
It was probably dirty.
Pretty dirty. Maybe it's too dirty, you think?
This is a podcast. I got, you know, my reputation.
Not rated.
I don't remember, explicit. Though. I don't remember, but it probably did a lot of talks about phlasms and...
An orphlasm.
I think I remember one. He liked to take his face in between.
Do the boner, blah, blah,
blah, blah. Take it in the woman's boom and get boom. He's dirty. He's Dirty Cosby.
As I recall, Dirty Cosby came around before all the news.
Before the news, you already knew what this guy was up to.
Yeah.
You were on the forefront. Influencer.
Ooh, an influencer.
All right. So we just heard...
Star is Born.
Poker Face. I'm going to... Now, this is a song by Stevie Nicks. So let me set this up a little bit. This is Stevie Nicks. I just want to say that this is one of my babies. I never was married. I never had my own children. So all the songs are my babies. This is a song that was in my drawer for many, many years. I never released it. But then in 2014, I decided that I would release 24 Karat Gold, Songs from the Vault. And this is one of the ones I brought out. And even though Lindsay and I never got married, we still love each other. And even though I kicked him out of Fleetwood Mac and we never had kids, this song is one of my babies. It's called The Dealer.
It was my fault, my game. If I'd known a little more, I'd have run away. It was dark out and I held the cards. I was the dealer and it wasn't hard.
Chip, I have enough songs in my iTunes library currently that I can listen. I could turn on my iTunes library and it would play for 188.7 days without repeating a song. So how many songs do you think that is?
188 days?
188 days without repeating a song.
Well, I think that's, by the way, coincidentally, if I'm not wrong, just over half of a year.
And that's only your Yes albums?
That's Actually, there's a one Yes song that'll play for 188 days.
So, I'm sorry, what was the question?
How many songs do you think that is?
You have 750 songs.
Hmm.
Okay, maybe I'm shooting them. Well, it's like 10,000 songs.
What do you think it is, Kyle?
I'm going to say, I'm trying to think when the last time. I'm going to say it's close to 50. I'm going to go like 47,000 songs.
54,328 songs.
How?
I just got a lot of songs.
Have you listened to them ever? Yeah, you probably have over the years.
Over the years, sure.
That's a lot of hits.
It's a lot of songs.
I wonder what the world's largest collection of songs... Oh, I guess anybody could go crazy.
Warner Brothers music catalog.
They have the largest.
I'm sure people have way more than what I have, but that's a ton.
That's pretty good.
Something. I mean, it doesn't give me anything.
No. A friend of mine on Facebook, get a load of this, he's like, hey, I love Apple Music, and I'm just going to get rid of all of my 400 CDs. Anybody want them? And I'm like, I was a day late.
Oh.
I was like, I would have taken them.
Yeah, I would have taken them, yeah.
Just to see what you have.
Rip them in there.
Rip them?
Yep.
Enjoy them?
I would have come over and had a rip party with you.
Greg McDaniel. Maybe you know him.
Who got them from him?
I don't know, some character, but Greg and I were at Miami together. He came out to see my shows at the East End freshman year. He saw the great comedy.
Was he happy?
He's a nice guy.
Were your friends supportive?
They were supportive. They wore the I'm Chip Chinnery Groupie t-shirts, which I had printed up because I'd done stand-up 30 times in my life by that point.
Sure. So you put those up and give them to your friend. All right.
And that branding? Or the influencer?
I'm an influencer. Branding.
And the groupies were all men.
It's true. It's like going to a Rush concert.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
I play the dealer.
Yeah. Oh, it's my turn. You know why? Here's something I don't know about. There's a part of gambling that I know nothing about. It's called dice. And Mick Jagger, turns out, didn't know anything about it either, but he said he sat down with the housekeeper who was into dice and talked to her about it. She says, here's how you do it. And then he's like, I'm going to make that a song. And it's true. Wow. And now you know the rest of the story. Paul Harvey.
Miss Linda Ronstadt also does a good version of that song.
Yeah.
Cover version. You know what's fun? Linda Ronstadt.
She used to be married to the governor. No, they were boyfriend and girlfriend.
They were dating. Banging around. Jerry Brown.
Stone Ponies.
Banging around with Jerry Brown. Yeah, Stone Ponies, Troubadour Theater. All right. You played a song about dice. My next song is about dice, too. And this is from, here's another one from Bruce Springsteen. This is from my album, Human Touch. And I wanted to write. I heard about Mick Jagger writing a song about dice, and I said, "God damn, I gotta write a song about dice." And I call this one a roll of the dice.
Well, I bet I lose a gambler. Yeah, just throwing snake eyes. Oh, love ain't got me downhearted. I know around the corner lies mountains far. Just another roll of the dice. Oh, my 11s and 7s been coming up 6s and 9s. Since I met for you, babe, I'm coming on change.
I just like that his 11s and 7s are coming up 6s and 9s.
I don't think this is his best poetry.
Yeah. I got a song where I say, you can put out the dog, I'll put out the cat. You can put on your coat, and I'll put on my hat.
Is that really one of his?
Yes.
That's not really. Yeah. I thought you just were making up your own song just now.
No, here, give me the thing. I'll play it for you. I'll prove it to you. It's pretty terrible.
Not that it's better than any song I've written ever, mm-hmm. but...
Is it?
I don't know.
He also rhymed paradise with, like, rolling dice or something. Like,
let me find it.
He rhymed, like, a pun with...
Find it. I'm looking for it.
The Boss.
The Boss. It's the Boss.
It's called Lazy Writing, right?
That's the name of the song?
There's next song. It's called Lazy Writing.
Oh, no. I think it's Easy Money. All right. Here we go. I'm playing it. Here we go.
You put on your coat, I'll put on my hat. You put out the dog,
you go.
This is the problem when no one's around you going, no. What do you mean? I'm sorry, Bruce, you hired me to be the guy who says no and no.
Yeah, but see, he's got a dog and she got cats.
Yeah, this is your worst song that you've ever written, Bruce.
Yeah, but I just want to make some easy money.
it's not for children. Like, if he was singing that with Elmo.
If he's on Sesame Street.
Then I buy it,
Singing that with, Elmo.
Yeah.
Elmo, like, put out hat. Take coat, put hat on.
That's surprisingly good.
That's a good Elmo.
Thank you. Elmo likes singing. Put out the cat. Put on the dog. Elmo likes Springsteen.
All right. Let's, that's such a terrible song.
You know what? We've got to follow that up with a good song.
Something about dice?
Only if I had more dice songs, I would. But this one is a...
Kyle's yawning. He can't stay up in Vegas. You're the one that was most recently... Wait, no, Chip, you were most recently
We were
in
both
Vegas.
In Vegas on the same night.
That's right, same weekend.
Mm-hmm. You were seeing Nine Inch Nails.
Yes.
And Chip, you were in a poker tournament.
I was in a poker tournament at the World Series of Poker. I didn't do well there. I've done well there. I did my best thing ever at the World Series of Poker. It was a couple of years ago. I played the Colossus. 22,374 people entered, and I came in 369th.
What's the buy-in on that?
Nice.
That was like $565.
$565.
Yeah. And I won $6,331.
What's the criteria for that? If I just said, I'm going to go with
you. You can walk in with me and put your money down and sit down.
And I can play.
Yeah, and you could just, by luck of the draw, be sitting next to the World Series of Poker champion from last year.
How pissed off would he be to sit next to me while I play?
It's the worst. It'd be like the storm.
Are there some idiots when you're playing?
I don't know, because I think there are people, because you're throwing down that much money, and I didn't see anyone who was like, some rich kid who doesn't care, who says, I'm just going to go and play. You know, there's none of it doesn't seem to be that.
All right.
Yeah. So there's not that idiot factor. But
all right. What's your next song?
Next song is by the Eagles. I'm pronouncing that correctly. Eagles, not the Eagles.
No.
Eagles.
Just Eagles. We know it from the documentary.
Yeah. It's by Eagles, which is a great documentary.
Oh, and Steve Martin said, oh, you mean the Eagles? And Glenn Frey said, just Eagles. All right.
Okay. It's a great documentary. Would you agree?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Kyle, you've even watched it, right?
Yeah. I like the part where they kick Don Felder out and then say he's the biggest asshole in music.
Yeah, they seem a little rough on Don. I don't know Don. I don't know his reputation.
Seems like a nice guy to me.
Glenn Frey's like, I called up his manager and said, how's it feel to work for the biggest asshole in music?
I don't work for you, Glenn.
He played the... He came up with the riff for Hotel California, right?
Yeah.
Thing, and then he sends the tape, and they go, cool, I'll put it in this other song I wrote. Right? If I'm not mistaken.
Something like that, yeah.
Like, oh, that's not nice.
Nope.
It's mean. Anyway, this next song is called Desperado. Get ready for some metaphors.
Desperado. Oh, why don't you come to Los Angeles? You've been out riding fences for so long now.
The fences.
Oh, you're a hard one, but I know that you got your reasons. These things that are pleasing you can hurt you somehow. Don't you draw the queen of diamonds, boy. She'll beat you if she's able. You know the queen of hearts is always your best bet.
So true, so true.
Also a big hit for Linda Ronstadt.
This one?
Yep. And I'm going to go right off of the last line he said, queen of hearts is your best bet. Let's hear a little bit of Juice Newton.
Oh.
Midnight, and I'm waiting on the 12:05. Hoping it'll take me just a little farther down the line. The moonlight, you're just a heartache in disguise. Won't you keep my heart from breaking if it's only for a very short time?
Playing with the queen of hearts, knowing it ain't really smart. The joker ain't the only
She's still alive. She's 66 years old.
Yeah.
Did you ever eat a Juice Newton?
What'd you say?
Did you ever eat a Juice Newton?
I've never eaten at Juice Newton. Is that a good restaurant?
No. I meant like a Fig Newton or an Apple Newton.
Oh, eat a Juice Newton.
Like an Apple Newton?
Yeah. Well, I got to be honest.
Apple Newtons were great.
I'm sure someone has.
Up on Cripple Creek. This next song.
Hubba, hubba, hubba. Hotcakes.
Hotcakes. That's amazing. Because I think your body of work, it's not only what you do, but what you don't do. Like, that should be something she didn't do.
Well, that should be on an album with Easy Money, her and Bruce Springsteen.
Together, playing their
D-sides. Put them in the batter. Hubba, hubba. Yeah. All right. How many hotcakes you want, Chip? 1, 2, 3, 4. I get 4 hotcakes from Chip. Who you texting with, Kyle? Murray?
I'm looking up to see if they still make Apple Newtons, but I don't think they do.
Apple Newtons are good.
I always like the fig.
I don't like his little seed.
Yeah, it's a fig seed.
It's gritty to me.
Yeah, I understand it. I could see that.
What kind of Newtons do they have right now? Would a pumpkin Newton be good?
Didn't they have like raspberry Newtons?
Seems like they would. They used to have a blueberry Newton.
That was good.
Strawberry Newton.
I like that too.
Whole wheat fig Newton.
No.
No. Nope. Cranberry wheat. Newtons.
Maybe.
Here's one. A guava Newton.
No, that's bullshit.
What Newtons have survived?
Yeah, what's still out there on the shelves?
It looks like they still have, now it's baked apple and cinnamon Newton.
No, that's fine.
Okay, that'll be fine.
Are you going to go buy some of those tomorrow?
Bring them to poker.
Yeah, those to poker. Yeah,
okay, don't keep my eye out for an apple Newton.
Baked apple.
Baked apple.
All right.
Not a raw
Queen
apple.
Of Hearts, you got some more?
This next song is partially about winning at the racetrack.
All right.
It's by a band called The Band. Up on Cripple Creek.
Good luck had you strung me to the racetrack, I did go. She bet on one horse to win, and I bet on another to show. The odds were in my favor, I had them 5-1. And that nag to win came around the track, sure enough we had won. Up on Cripple Creek, and she sends me in my spring a leap. She means me, I don't have the speed. She defends me, a drunkard's dream if I ever did see one.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Little Juice Newton action here. Queen of Hearts on the U.S. country chart went to number 14.
I thought it was bigger than that.
Well, the song that followed it up is called The Sweetest Thing I've Ever Known. Do you know that song?
No, not by name.
That went to number 1.
How's that go?
Could you find that? The Sweetest Thing I've Ever Known by Juice Newton.
Is it a fig Newton?
That went to number 1 on the country charts. Angel of the Morning, 22.
I remember Angel of the Morning.
Queen of Hearts, 14. And then this song I've never heard of, number 1.
Maybe it's just horribly titled.
Let's find it.
I wonder if this is going to be one where, like, I know that song.
I hope so. I hope it is.
Oh.
Because it's number 1.
Started playing Angel in the Morning for some reason.
I remember all the laughter and the tears we shared last night. And as we lie here, just two shadows in the light.
Anything? Any bells?
No, nothing.
This sounds like something Gorshin did. Wouldn't he? Maybe.
Oh, all right. And I don't know it. Nothing.
Nothing.
Then she had, 85, she had 2 number ones on the country chart. You Make Me Want to Make You Mine and the song called Hurt. And then Both to Each Other, Friends and Lovers with Eddie Rabbit. You know what he likes.
Loves a rainy night.
Loves it.
Loves it.
That guy.
Loves a beautiful sight.
It's he loves it so much. Like, he moved up to Seattle because he loves it so much. If it's sunny outside, he's fucking pissed. He's that kind of
this
a dude.
This guy Rabbit?
Yeah, he gets so fucking mad. Like, I go, do you want to go out tonight? He goes, what's it going to do? What's the weather like? He goes, it's pretty nice out. Fuck that. I'm not going out.
He wrote a song for Elvis Presley, which must have upset you.
What is it?
Kentucky Rain. Would that be right?
The guy loves rain. He loves rainy night. He really is successful when it's raining.
I think that's his.
Guy's so pissed off.
Kentucky Rain.
Is Eddie Rabbit still alive, Chip? Bet you $20. No. What do you think?
Totally dead. He's got to be alive.
He's dead.
Wow, died. He was only.
He's dead?
He was only 56 when he died.
I didn't know that. He really did die?
Yeah, he wrote Kentucky Rain.
You owe me $20.
Kentucky Rain.
You owe me $20, right?
Listen, I met Mac Davis. He worked with, he wrote a song for Elvis Presley. That's unfortunately not a gambling song.
What was his?
Finally hitched a ride from the preacher man west, way bound on such a cool Kentucky Rain. Maybe that was it. Who did Rabbit write? Rabbit wrote what?
Kentucky Rain.
Then what am I thinking of?
What's his name? Mac?
little more, little less conversation, little more action. Mac Davis. What's his name? Mac Davis.
Mac Davis. Lung cancer.
Mac's still alive, isn't he?
He's in The Sting too, with Jackie Gleason and Terry Garr.
Dallas 40.
One of the better sequels. Okay, Eddie Rabbit died of lung.
Is it good? I've never seen it.
What?
The Sting too. I thought
how
it was.
How could it be? It couldn't be any good. Are you? Yeah, they replaced Redford and Newman with Mac Davis, Jackie Gleason, and Terry Garr.
Okay, Mac Davis wrote Memories.
Yes.
In the Ghetto.
In the Ghetto. That's the one.
Don't Cry, Daddy, and A Little Less Conversation.
A little less conversation. A little more action.
In the Ghetto. Lung cancer at the age of 56.
For Eddie Rabbit.
Yep. He was diagnosed in March 97, and a little over a year later, done. Unbelievable. No media outlets reported the death until after the burial at the family's request. Maybe that's why he didn't know.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
He was just buried last year. They waited that long.
They didn't want any press.
Right. You just played a song. My turn?
Yeah.
Okay. This is an AC/DC song. Where they use like card terms, like for sex stuff.
What?
You'll hear. This is called
the
Jack. Where do you hear this?
She gave me the queen. She gave me the king. She was wheeling and dealing, just doing her thing. She was holding a pair.
Boobs.
But I had to try. Her deuce was wild, but
poop.
My ace was high. But how was I to know that she'd been dealt with before? Said she never had a full house, but I should have known from the tattoo on her left leg and the garter on her right. She'd have
I believe that's a venereal disease, right? That's an STD.
Oh, she's got the jack.
She's got the jack.
This sounds like Dirty Cosby, this whole song.
That song clocks in at 5 minutes and 53 seconds of that.
Does it ever pick up?
Yeah.
I don't think so. No, it's just like that. Kyle hates AC/DC.
And when people are like, why that?
Let me play you something from AC/DC.
I've got two more songs. How many do you have?
I have two more or just one.
You play one.
I'll play one.
I'll play one.
Yeah.
You play one, and I have the playout song.
Okay, good. This next song is one that I really enjoy, and I want you to hear it. I don't know which version of Bob Seger played it, but either way, it's still the same.
This is Silver Bullet Band.
Silver Bullet Band.
This is a great song.
I love it.
You always won every time you placed a bet. You're still damn good. Gotten to you yet? Every time they were sure that you caught, you were quicker than they thought. You just turn your back and walk. You always said cards will never do you wrong. The trick you said was never play the game too long. A gambler's share, the only risk that you would take, the only loss you could foresee, the only bluff you couldn't pay, and you're still the same. I caught up with you yesterday.
Great song.
Love it.
I'm going to play a great song by a performer that you've seen twice in concert. One time you paid to see her, and the next time she was filling in for someone you paid to see.
Oh, I think I know who this is.
It's from her debut solo album, Tuesday Night Music Club, from 1993. Sheryl Crow, Leaving Las Vegas.
Life springs eternal on a garden knee. street. Not that I care at all. It's been the best part of my losing streak in an Army Jeep for what I can't recall.
That's a great song.
I love that song.
She's a good-looking lady.
She's, yes.
She's the same age now that Eddie Rabbit was when he died. 56.
Who did she fill in for?
She filled in for Bonnie Raitt. We were going to see her at the Hollywood Bowl.
We still don't know what's wrong with Bonnie Raitt, do we?
I don't know. She had some surgery. Sure.
Some
she
surgery.
What maybe was it's it? Lady stuff. I don't know.
Maybe ingrown toenail.
Oh. But yeah, Bonnie Raitt was going to open for James Taylor at the Hollywood Bowl, and then she couldn't, so Cheryl filled in. And it was a lovely concert.
A lot of people don't know Sheryl Crow was a background singer and cast member of Cop Rock.
Really?
She was on Cop Rock. You can see her. Take really? A peek. Yep.
You can pick her out?
You can see. Yeah, definitely. Huh. Any news on
nothing.
News on Bonnie Raitt? Nothing?
Just all right, well, health issues.
Hopefully she's good. What's your last song,
My
Chip?
Last song was featured most recently in a commercial for Geico with our friend Weenie Feds.
Wayne Fetterman has been on the show twice.
I figured he must have been. The man plays the piano.
We did Fed Zeppelin. That was an all Led Zeppelin show.
Yeah.
And then we did the Feagles, which was an all Eagles show. No, we just did. It's just the Eagles. This episode, I've titled with this episode, Place Your Bets. How about that? Me getting fancy.
I like that.
Place
That's
Your
really
Bets.
Good.
Kyle, what do you think of that?
I like that.
Be honest.
They were going to get reviews. No more bets.
The internet's cruel.
Hold your bets.
Don't listen to anyone's comments.
I'm going to see if we have any new reviews since the last time we read reviews. Chip, you can introduce your song. I interrupted you.
It's okay. This next song is by a guy who used to be in the new Christy Minstrels. Please welcome Kenny Rogers and The Gambler.
Ah, yes.
Their eyes, so if you don't mind me saying, I can see you're out of aces for a taste of your whiskey. I'll give you some advice. So I handed him my bottle, and he drank down my last swallow. Then he bummed a cigarette and asked me for a light. And the night got deathly quiet, and his face lost all expression. Said, if you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away. Know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for count when the dealing's done.
That's a life lesson right there.
That's true. I'm going to read you our most critical review that we've had
for the Rock Solid Podcast.
This goes back to July 21st, 2011.
That's 7 years ago.
Yeah. Now, first of all, I want to tell you that he reviewed the Adam Carolla show, and he gave it 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
He called it morning. First of all, the guy that's doing these reviews calls himself Purple Power Plant.
Sounds like a Prince fan.
Purple Power Plant. Here's what the title of his review for Adam Carolla show says, Morning Medicine. And then he says, Adam makes me laugh hard, which boosts my serotonin and pulls me out of my depression. He is a valuable drug to me. Okay.
Oh, and we must make him just really happy.
He gave us 1 star.
Oh.
The title of this review is, I'm going to say, about 15 Z's.
OMG.
And then just a 1-word review, snore. That's
wow.
That's what we get.
Purple People Eater. What's his name?
He's the Purple Power Plant.
Purple Power Plant. Is he still around skewering people on the internet?
Well, I don't know.
Well, that's it. Sounds like he likes Adam Carolla a lot and doesn't care for what's happening here.
Does not like what's happening here at all.
He may put this on before he goes to bed.
Maybe, maybe. So let's do some promoting. Kyle, you're at Kyle Dotson Funny. Mm-hmm. You're leaving for Disney World at the time of this record. You're leaving. You're going on a family vacation with your mom and dad and your brother.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to get? Gonna get cotton candy?
I'll probably get a Dole Whip.
Where are you going?
Oh, no, what's a Dole Whip? Tell me what that
is. It's like a sherbet.
Uh-huh.
It is like a pineapple flavor, yeah. They also have mango, but it's not as good.
You can only get that at Disney World?
They say you can, but you can get it at other places.
Right. Now you call it a sherbet.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call it?
It's
sherbet.
It's how it's spelled, a sherbet, but I've always said sherbet too as a young...
Did I say Bert?
It could be the Ohio and Pennsylvania.
Well, I guess it is, yeah, sherbet.
Sherbet. It's sherbet, but I always go sherbet.
Sherbet's, that's the sound of frog.
Do you call it sherbet?
No.
Sorbet and sherbet?
Maybe it is sherbet.
Throw it out there. See, I'd like a pineapple sherbet.
You
see
what
they do.
You going to get Mickey ears with your name on?
No, they do have an exclusive Thanos action figure that they only sell at the Disney park, so I'm going to get that.
How much is that?
Like $25.
Take a picture of that. Send it to me.
Mm-hmm.
What's it say there, Kyle? How do you pronounce this,
this says, word? It says sherbet. Sherbet, yeah.
Sherbet.
I thought it was sherbet.
But it's also sorbet, not sorbet. It's very confusing English language.
We, remember, we were raised with a woman who says casina, and she's not big on pizza. So.
And you say, how do you say hold?
Well, I really hold. Chip, when, hold. When your parents wanted you to clean up the room, what would they tell you to do?
Clean up your room.
Clean up. Let's clean up the room.
Clean up the room.
Okay, here's, now, no one knows this. I don't even know how to explain it. But the first time Pilar heard me say this, she said, what did you say? And I said it, and she's like, what does that mean? And I go, what are you talking about? And she's just like, I don't understand what you mean by that. And I'm like, and I try to explain it. I go, I don't know what I mean by it either. That's just what my parents would say.
What do you say?
Say it.
Red up the room.
Red up the room.
Red up the room.
Red it up. Let's red this. Let's red this place up.
Does that mean? Is it referring to? It has to refer to something.
I don't know.
I'd never heard that before.
My mom. If you ask my mom, I'm sure she'd say it just means to red it up.
Yeah,
it
has, red it up.
It has roots in Middle English verb the Middle English verb redden, which meant to rescue or free from or to clear.
Oh, it sounds like my mom's so red up proper than I thought.
Means to clean an area or make it tidy.
I'd never
you
heard of that.
Red up the room.
It's a Western
governor.
Pennsylvania thing.
Is that what it says? It's a Western Pennsylvania thing. Red up the room.
Mm-hmm.
I say alls a lot, and I realize alls I'm saying is, so what I'm, A-L-L-S?
Yeah.
Alls I'm saying? You mean all I'm saying?
Alls.
But I always go into alls. Alls I'm saying is.
Yeah.
Chip. It's fun. You know, different areas of the country have their own little special.
Yeah. You say soda or pop?
I say carbonated beverage.
Soda. I don't go, give me a pop.
I just call it whatever it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes people call it a Coke, but that doesn't necessarily mean Coke. And in my own life, I say on my grocery list, I put banned when I mean dry idea, because I always used to get banned deodorant. And then when I switched to dry idea in college, I was like, I'm not going to write that whole word out. I'm just going to write ban. I know what it means. So don't try to figure me out. Everything's in code at my house.
Chip, you're on Twitter?
I'm on Chip Chinnery. And
at Chip Chinnery?
At Chip Chinnery.
And then you have another one too, right?
At Chip's Money Tips, my other thing. So
you have a podcast? How many episodes?
Four. We usually record them in October. But again, like my early stand-up days, we don't do them every year. You know,
not
we
every
just
year.
Pace it.
Are they still out there? Are the
They're
ones
still
you did
out
record?
There. The four of them are out
the
there.
Four?
And we interviewed Jamie Gold, who was a World Series of Poker champion. He was like the big shot in like 2008.
Do you have any reviews for your podcast?
No, I got to contact the purple guy to get out there.
Wait, what's it called? Chip's Tips?
It's the podcast.
Oh, that's right.
Pod. We put the H in podcast. Or we, what is it? Yeah, and we then, put the H in podcast.
Okay, then it's P-O-D-C-A-S-H-T?
T, yeah. Podcast.
Why? That's not even coming up.
It should be. I paid for the daggone thing. Maybe it could just be a chipsmoneytips.com.
I'll just type Chip Chinnery in. I'm off mic a little bit. Sorry about that. Okay. All right. Podcast.
Yeah.
Chip's Money Tip. I want to see if you, do you mind if I see if you have any reviews? Or do you know you don't?
I don't know if I have any. It doesn't matter.
You know what? I just clicked 5 stars.
Nice.
It's great.
I have a 5-star review.
I'm not going to write a review. I just gave you 5 stars. It's just a customer rating.
But we haven't done one in a few years, so maybe I'll gear up for... October's right around the corner.
Yeah, get your equipment ready. You can record it here if you need to.
3 of mine are phone calls. So, I don't know if that counts either.
So one was... The first one was November 2nd, 2011.
Okay.
Sounds about right.
7 years ago.
Then...
picked up ahead of steam.
Then number two was on October 4th, 2012.
Yep, that's about right.
Yep.
Then... The third one was October 16th, 2012.
So I packed in two.
So
in
getting a little
month.
Regular. And then...
a lot of pressure.
Then April 3rd, 2013.
Yeah. And wow. then I had
and
to
And then
say.
we're just waiting.
We're waiting for the... Because the next one is going to be
It's kind of like people who are waiting for that last...
it's been over 5 years.
That last Game of Thrones book.
Yeah. It's the last two.
Yeah. Okay. We are at Rock Solid Show. I am at Pat_Francis.
Mm-hmm.
Go to... RockSolidPodcast.com for everything, t-shirts, everything. Mm-hmm. Patreon page, there's a link there. Everything. If you have not yet signed up for Patreon, let's do this. $2 a month. That's 50 cents a week. That's
break it down.
Is that a good deal?
It's 50 cents an episode.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
That's entertainment value.
You heard how good this is. Snore. You got to try.
People are calling it Snore and not as good as the Bible app.
All right, Chip, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Before my another playout song, Chip, you're going to help me out with this a little
bit. Oh, cool.
Now, Chip, you love The Who.
I've seen them several of their farewell tours.
Right.
Starting in 82.
I love The Who. Last time we saw them together.
That's right.
And if we were going to Vegas, what would Roger Daltrey, what would his advice be if we were going to Vegas?
Be lucky.
That's how Roger closes out the show. He says, don't forget to be lucky.
I'm sure Townsend's like, are you going to do your silly thing
be
now?
Be lucky.
Because it's a newer thing, right? He hasn't always been doing it.
Now, I bet you didn't know this, though. In 2017, the last studio track recorded by The Who so far is a song called Be Lucky. Let's hear it. Thank you, Chip. Thank you, Kyle.
Find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.